Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday MV Pro Call. Today is December 3rd, and today is someday in December, but December 3rd, 2020. So you go skip a week from the MV Pro Call and have Thanksgiving, and you don't even remember when it is. But anyway, I'd like to welcome everybody here, those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to recording, which I actually heard a couple more people over the last week that listen to these via recording. I just want to say how much I really do appreciate that, and I appreciate getting the feedback from you guys, whether you're here live or listen to via recording. And, of course, you can listen to it on recording by subscribing to MotoVitality with the hyphen on Google Podcasts or Apple Podcasts or iHeartRadio, whatever podcast application you happen to be using. Or you can go to MotoVitality.com and listen to all the archives. There's tons and tons and tons of them there. Definitely, however you are on, I really do appreciate you taking the time. And it's always our goal to make sure that the information that you get from this is at least as valuable as the time that you're giving to us. Very much appreciated. Hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. I also wanted to kind of say, you know, with all the emails that you get, tons and tons of emails that we get hammered with this time of year, it's unbelievable how many come, you know, between text messages and emails and all the sales and everything else. We did not send out a reminder for the MV Pro Call, and here you guys are. And so that really means a lot, and I appreciate that a lot. So, with that, we're going to start the call off the way we do every week, which is by asking, was there anything that anybody learned this last 2 weeks that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that's worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or any questions we can answer for you? Anything that would start discussion?
Actually, I do have a question.
Hey, Stacy.
One of the guys called me with a question I didn't know, one of our other reps, because he was using the Spin Touch. Mm-hmm. And apparently it came up with copper in the water.
Mm-hmm.
What do we do with copper?
So for those of you listening that are not familiar with this, okay, the Spin Touch is a device that has, it came out of, well, really hit the water treatment world a couple of years ago. It's made by Lamott, and it's gotten wildly popular. Now, originally they made this for pool testing supplies. So when you look at a lot of them, you'll see a lot of them, they made it for swimming pools. And that still actually is a factor when you're doing some of the municipal water tests. But basically with the Spin Touch, you have a syringe and you take a little bit of water and you put it in this disc. They have different discs designed for different types of water. So there's the treated water disc or the well water disc, and on the, I believe it is the municipal disc, the municipal water, you put the thing in about 2 minutes, it tests hardness and chlorine and iron and one of pH, alkalinity, you know, it tests several different, brings up several different tests. One of them is copper. I think it's on the municipal water. Is that right, Stacy, that the copper?
I have no idea. This guy would have been testing well water.
Okay, so that it is well water just that comes up with copper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that is one of them, and that will come up. I couldn't remember if that was untreated or the well. Bob, mm-hmm. Do you remember which one that is, just to verify? Or Maria?
I know you did.
It's on both. Okay. All right. It's on both.
Copper's on both.
Okay. So it's not uncommon for it to come up with a small amount of copper, especially if you've got copper lines running through the home. I mean, it will read sometimes a little bit of copper, especially if if the water, you know, if whoever did the test did not run the water, you know, directly out of the well, or to make sure that you're exiting all the water that was sitting in the pipes overnight or for several hours. You know, you want to, anytime you do a water test, you want to make sure that you're running the water for a minute or two before you do the test, right? To make sure that you're getting the water that out of the pipes that's been sitting in the pipes for, you know, for however long, right? Because things can change. It can change in water. So you see that quite a bit. You also, you know, if you have an area where you see it with low pH water, which of course you do along the eastern seaboard quite a bit, it's not uncommon, even if you've run the water, to have the copper in the water, because the water, some of you may or may not know this, but water is known as a universal solvent. It dissolves pretty much everything it touches, and one of those things would be copper. So it's, you get those trace trace elements of residual copper in there. So reverse osmosis certainly will take it out, and copper, of course, at high levels is going to be a problem. At the levels that you're finding from just the erosion like that, you're not going to have an issue, but reverse osmosis would certainly handle it. And if there is copper naturally occurring at higher levels, then you can use ion exchange for that as well. So,
okay.
It's a great question. I love it. And the one thing about that spin touch, you know, I think it's an awesome tool. I love it. I strongly recommend it. Customers are impressed by it. It's a really awesome tool, but sometimes if you're looking at that dead on accuracy, I do notice that, you know, if you've got air in one of the discs, or if you haven't washed out your syringes, you know, rinse them out or whatever, sometimes I wonder about the total, you know, the exact accuracy. And in fact, there's been a couple times even this last week where I wanted to go old school. You know, I felt more confident in going out and look and doing the regular chemical tests as opposed to the spin touch. So it has its place, to be sure. I will tell you, I've never seen it give me a zero hardness reading. And so I would strongly encourage you, if you're using the spin touch, not to use it on your follow-ups, because it always says that you have one or two grains left in the water. Even with RO water, it will tell you that you have hardness left in the water. So it will not give you a zero. When you have hardness, it's pretty accurate. So when there's hardness in the water, so 8, 10, 12 grains or 20 grains, I find it to be pretty accurate, pretty dead on with the drops. But when you put a softener in and you do the drops and it's immediately blue, and then you do the spin touch, it still shows one or two grains in there for some reason. And I'm not really sure why that is, but if you're using a machine like that, it definitely it needs to be used in conjunction with the other tools, not as a standalone device. Bob, Maria, you have anything to add to that? Because I know you guys use it pretty regularly.
No, just, I never use it on the follow-up.
Yeah.
Because it's, like you said, it's not accurate.
Yeah.
It raises more questions.
I'm sorry.
It just raises more questions because of the misreadings.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Kelly, would that be a cation or an anion?
I knew you were going to mention that, Jen. I'm pretty sure it's a cation. I'm pretty sure that copper is, I'd have to look at the periodic table of the elements, but I'm pretty sure that it is a cation, but I can look. You said, Breon, you had a question. Anybody else have a question? Any other questions are on that topic, and then I know, Jen, you said that, I think you said Breon had a question there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you're done with the copper question.
Yeah, let me, I'm still looking for the answer for copper, but I can do that while we're listening to your question. Go ahead, Breon.
So, had a Facebook post customer, well, not a customer of ours, but a Facebook post where a person installed a quartz sitting ledge in the shower when they remodeled the bathroom. And after a couple of years, it's become pitted and faded. It actually looks like it faded from gray to a brownish color. And they're asking if this could be the result of their well water. They do say they have an iron filter and a softener.
Anybody else? Anybody want to answer that?
I have never heard of it. And was it quartz or was it granite? I don't remember, Breon.
The Facebook poster said quartz, and then one
quartz, okay.
of the first comments was someone asked, are you sure it's not granite?
Okay. I thought I had seen granite in there somewhere. I have never heard of it, and that's why I mentioned to Breon to bring it here, because I've never heard of that.
What was the issue with it?
It faded
and pitted.
What's their pH, Breon? Did you test that?
Quartz is man-made.
Yeah, this is a Facebook post, so there wasn't a whole lot of amplifying information with it.
Right. Bob, go ahead.
So South Lyon. So it's pH usually isn't a concern in.
It's high though, isn't it? It's above. It's like 7.5 or 8.
Hmm.
Is that right? Usually the pH in Southeast Michigan runs 7.5 to 8. So there's a couple things. First off, quartz has become a lot more common, a lot more popular the last few years and has replaced granite. But definitely you're right that granite tends to do that a lot more often than quartz, because quartz tends to be, you know, smooth. But the pH, the answer is we'd need to know the pH of the water. But think about it. Quartz is, even though it's man-made, it is still stone. Now you've got water that's heated up and probably getting high pressure on it. You know, somebody's putting a quartz seat. I'm imagining that this is probably not an entry-level home, which means that they might have high pressure coming out. So, yeah, it doesn't surprise me a bit that they not only the water, by the way, but you've also got the soaps, which will tend to be a higher pH, right? So you've got soaps and chemicals that are in there. So, yeah, I think we would definitely want to do a more thorough water analysis and look into it more, but it doesn't surprise me a bit that that there would be pitting or some sort of even discoloration on that stone. But it would require more.
I would also see if it's a steam shower.
What's that?
I would also see if it's a steam shower, because I've seen steam showers have reaction with the thin set.
Yeah.
On regular tile.
Which yeah, right.
is actually dissolving and coating the tile.
Sure. Good suggestion. Copper, by the way, is an anion, which means that you would need an anion resin. Copper carries a negative electrical charge. And it's a chemical symbol or chemical abbreviation is Cu, not CO like one might think. Cu, so copper. Anybody else have any of that anything? Okay, so I do have a topic today, and this is thanks to you, Bob, who seems to be contributing a lot to you today. But I wanted to talk about handling rejection. That came out really bad, Bob. Okay, that's all we needed to say. Everybody just focus on Bob while we talk about this topic for a minute. Seriously, the reason I thought about Bob and the reason this is thanks to Bob and the suggestions, because he was sharing with me a story about how one of his customers was complaining. One of the reasons one of his customers went with him was because of how one of his competitors had reacted, even the suggestion that he was going to go somewhere else. And it reminded me of the anecdote I talk about in my book, and I've seen this a lot, actually, and I think it's really important. In my book, I talk about how when I built my house, I needed carpet. And I always tried to use people that had done business with me, customers that had been mine. And I had two customers that worked with carpet and that sold carpet, and one that was my builder's guy. One of the guys that was a customer, I had a pretty good referral relationship with. He'd given me a couple referrals, and I'd given him a couple referrals, and he had bought a system from me. And in fact, I had bought carpet from him in my previous home. And so I definitely called him back to take a look at my new house, which he never looked at. He never measured. He just looked at the blueprints and gave me a quote from that. And that quote was just really high. It was like, wait, really high. The other guy was somebody that had just bought a system from me for his house. And that guy came out and actually measured looked at the way he could get the carpet laid to use less of it, to use less carpet and save the money, and just did a really, had some great suggestions. And then the other guy was my builder's guy, the guy my builder used regularly. And he came in pretty high as well. And in fact, that guy, I had given him the type of carpet that the second guy, the one I was kind of leaning towards, I'd given him the color and the padding and everything, and even told him how much it was going to be. And, said if he could match it and do that, then I'd probably, because my builder was really, and, you know, it's easier when you work with somebody that works with the builder, you know, that's easier to coordinate the timing and so on and so forth. So he came in still $50 higher than what the guy, and never even went to the house. He again looked at the blueprints and just, I know Don's houses, Don is the builder. I know his houses. I know what they are. And he never even went out to the house to measure or do any things either. He never did assess me, just looked at the blueprints. So I had decided to go with the guy, Tim, the guy that, that had gone out to the house, and it just so happened he had the lowest price. I don't know that it would have completely mattered at that point, but I just really was appreciative of the effort and the fact that he seemed to really, he wanted my business. And he put forth the effort. Just as a side note, Maria, I'm thinking about you, filling water, over and beyond that. I think it does go somewhere. It goes far to show, the customer that you want their business, not to be taken advantage of, but to really put forth an effort and do your job. Case you guys are wondering what I'm talking about, just a little sidebar. Maria had a customer who wanted to know what RO water tasted like and didn't want store-bought water to show that, for like Aquafina or anything like that. So Maria filled two clean jars with RO water from the reverse osmosis at the office and took it to her. It's just that kind of over and beyond stuff. That sale ended up being an $18,000 sale too. So,
two bottles, one was with RO straight up and one was with remineralizer. She didn't know which one she wanted.
Yeah, that's right. To taste it. That's right. To give her the samples. Exactly. So, but anyway, that's kind of the same thing that this carpet guy had given me. or had done, you know, was really putting forth the effort. Now, what really did it was what really made me decide to go with this guy with the carpet was the fact that when I called Kevin, the guy that had put carpet in my house before, and that I had the referral relationship with, I called him and said, hey, I really appreciate the quote, but, you know, I'm going to go a different direction with it. He started just basically yelling at me like he was angry. I thought we had a referral relationship. We had a relationship. How come? Why are you even looking somewhere else? Like this, you know, and he just was just going off on me on because I had the gall of shopping around a little bit despite us having that referral relationship. And I mean, I just hung up the phone going, wow, that's, I've been referring this guy and I didn't refer him anymore after that either. And then I called my builder's guy and told him, hey, I'm going to go with this other guy. I appreciate it. Cause he called me, the builder's guy had been calling me, hey, when were you going to put that carpet in? You know, it was very assumptive. Like, you know, when are we going to put that carpet in? We need to get that scheduled. And I called him back and said, hey, I'm going with a different guy. And he was the same thing. Well, you're making a big mistake. Right? That's, you know, I know how these people are and I work with the builder and I thought we had a relationship, blah, blah, blah. And I just really was kind of amazed at how these people talked down to me as if I wasn't an intelligent person that had done my research and had spent time on this. And so just out of curiosity, even though I had decided to go with him, I called Tim up and said, hey, I really appreciate the time you coming out, but I'm going to go a different direction. And Tim says, I'm disappointed, of course, but I wanted to let you know, I really do appreciate the opportunity to come out and measure and that you gave me consideration. And I know you're going to finish the basement up. If you give me another chance, when that happens, I'd love to come back out and who knows, we may have different, material or different equipment. And I just was so impressed by that. I had already determined that I was going to use him, but that just reaffirmed. It was, I mean, in that particular instance, like I said, he had happened to have the best price. He had also put forth the most effort, though, and the way he handled rejection was, I mean, it just made me, he became my referral relationship. I mean, he was the guy that I started referring everybody to when it came to carpet. It just made a world of difference. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that today. In terms of a topic and ask each of you, how are you handling rejection? You know, are you, first off, I think there's a reason. It makes sense that customers don't want to call us back when they've decided to go another direction. I've had this happen to me a lot of other times with other salespeople since, but, you know, of the three people that I looked at for carpet, two out of three of them just laid into me. I did not hang up the phones with warm and fuzzy feelings at all. I would never, if I ever needed carpet in the future, I won't even call, I wouldn't have even called them. It would have been done. So I think there's no wonder that customers don't want to call us back, that they avoid those conversations. So I think we have to acknowledge in the first place, if a customer has called us or returned a call or a communication letting us know that they're going in a different direction, I think we need to be appreciative of that right from the very beginning, that they are even giving us the courtesy to have that communication. I mean, what's the alternative? You're still calling them and communicating, wondering if they went somewhere else, not knowing. That's the thing. So when they call, I think it is a mistake if you are looking at being a professional or even just frankly a decent human being. I think it's a mistake to in any way degrade them or demean them or make them feel like they are stupid for deciding to go a different direction than you. I mean, that's how incredibly insulting is that to, you know, to try and guilt them or make them feel foolish for making that decision. I mean, the truth is you really should, in my opinion, be appreciative of the fact that you even had an opportunity, that they trusted you to come in and ask those questions and do, you know, and give them a recommendation. You know, it doesn't mean it's a personal insult on you that they decided to go somewhere else. I mean, who knows? Maybe they simply couldn't afford it. I mean, Jen, I know you often have told a story of your windows and the guy that most impressed you had a product that you simply couldn't afford, was not necessarily what you were looking at. I mean, there was no question of the quality of the windows that he had, but you've given him how many referrals in comparison to the person you ended up buying windows from?
Right. I've given him 3 referrals on brand new homes that are 3 to 4 times bigger than mine. So, yeah. And he was the same thing. When he followed up with me, I explained to him, you know, and he had the same response as Tim did. You know, well, you know, if there's anybody else that you know that's not as cheap as you, then no. But yeah. He's the same response. You know, I appreciate the opportunity, if you know of anybody else or if you need any additional windows, then give them a call.
I've had people, and those of you that have been doing this a long time or have done sales, you may have similar stories, but I, as recently as last year, you know, it's been nearly 20 years since I was out there in sales directly. And as recently as last year, I got a phone call from a customer that did not buy from me that said, because I still have the same phone number, he said, I don't know if you remember me, but I told you that when I built the house, I was going to, if you were still doing this, that I was going to absolutely call you and have you out there. I mean, to have somebody hold on to my card and my number and to be, that didn't buy from me, but that felt like they needed to, you know, 15 years later, call and offer me the business. What a huge compliment. I mean, that was just an incredible compliment. So here's the lesson of the day. How do you handle rejection? Are you doing it with respect, with courtesy, with acknowledgement that that person has given you a compliment by even letting you in their home to give them the quote? Last couple minutes of this call, what do you guys think? Give me a couple other thoughts. Give me your thoughts. Toss it out there. Anybody have any comments on this?
I think you never burn any bridges. I've had people that didn't end up buying from me. Now, some of them ended up not buying anything, but I've gotten referrals.
Yeah.
From them occasionally, so... It never hurts to be classy all the time.
I agree.
Yeah.
It's respect. You know, you thank them for the opportunity. You tell them, you know, I wish you well. If you ever need anything or have any questions, you know where I am.
And
yeah, I mean, that goes to Jen's point that she has given referrals to the person that she did not buy from, not to the person she did buy from. You know, that's a very real thing.
I sold a double last month to a guy whose friend works for one of our competitors. And he said, because this guy was an installer for the competitor, he said, I'm not letting this guy install anything in my house.
Yeah.
It basically boils down to, you know, and the guy could have been a decent installer. But it basically boils down to the impression you leave.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Mm-hmm. All right, everybody. That is our time. I definitely want to say thank you again. We, I believe, are going to have two more calls, maybe three. I guess we do have that Thursday. We'll make a decision. We're going to have definitely two more calls, maybe three, in 2020. I've got to look at the calendar and see if we'll do it that week of Christmas. But definitely at least the next 2 weeks. I hope to see you back. And everybody be safe. We will talk to you next week, if not before. So thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks. Take care.